of verses underneath the bough. A jug of wine. A loaf of bread. And thou beside me, singing in the wilderness.
You are listening to the words of a Persian astronomer and poet, written more than eight centuries ago. Jim Amici reads excerpts from the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam on this Sunday's edition of Anthology. Fleetwood. Every Sunday afternoon at this time, WRCA, in conjunction with the Poetry Center of the YM and YWHA, 92nd Street and Lexington Avenue in New York, brings you Anthology, a selection of readings from poets, past and present, and the music to accompany their poetry. Our guests today, by transcription, William Faulkner, Jim Amici, and Carl Sandburg. Since the NBC network is presenting a special program honoring United Nations Day 1954, Anthology will be heard only in New York this afternoon. Actually, we rather welcome the opportunity of being back on local terms this Sunday, because now we can answer by air a lot of mail which has been accumulating during the past month. From Philadelphia, Mrs. Dana Barrickman writes that she would like to hear Tristram by Edwin Arlington Robinson, a request we're currently trying to fill. The poem, as you know, is of considerable length, and we've had numerous conferences with ourselves and university authorities trying to find a way of compressing the narrative into the required radio boundaries. We're extremely fond of Robinson's poetry. I'll always remember the rather stunned silence in my English class in high school, which followed the teacher's reading of Richard Cory. In case you can't recall the lines, this was Edwin Arlington Robinson's very bitter portrait of a man who, in spite of a deep despair, glittered when he walked. Whenever Richard Cory went downtown, we people on the pavement looked at him. He was a gentleman from sole to crown, clean-favored and imperially slim. And he was always quietly arrayed, and he was always human when he talked. But still he fluttered pulses when he said, "Good morning," and he glittered when he walked. And he was rich. Yes, richer than a king, and admirably schooled in every grace. In fine, we thought that he was everything to make us wish that we were in his place. So on we worked and waited for the light, and went without the meat and cursed the bread. And Richard Cory, one calm summer night, went home and put a bullet through his head. Of Anthology which defies solution is the answer to the question, should there be music with poetry or not? This very adamant letter from Mrs. J. R. Miller of Princeton, New Jersey, presents one side of the issue. I do not know how other listeners feel, but I strongly dislike music while poetry is read or recited. Poetry is one thing, music another, and on the radio they do not combine well. The music tends to drown the poetry. Look into this, please. I hope we won't have both next Sunday at 1:30. Mrs. Miller, may we introduce you to Dr. Alan Cartwright of Manhattan, who writes, "Your choice of music to accompany most of the poetry I have heard has been in excellent taste. and in more than one instance has certainly heightened the beauty of the spoken word. I'm glad you practice discretion, however. When someone has a voice that is filled with music like the poet Carl Sandburg, nothing else is needed. Incidentally, may we hear some more of his poetry? Indeed you may, Dr. Cartwright. And Mrs. Miller, here is an instance when we feel you are completely justified. One convenience of radio is the ease with which you can usher out music. Thank you. To usher in the voice of Carl Sandburg. This Sunday, we'll hear the poet read Southern Pacific, Prayers of Steel, and Over the Bridge from the Windy City. Here is Carl Sandburg.
Huntington sleeps in a house 6 feet long. Huntington dreams of railroads he built and owned. Huntington dreams of 10,000 men saying, "Yes, sir." Blethery sleeps in a house 6 feet long. Blethery dreams of rails and tires he laid. Blethery dreams of saying to Huntington, "Yes, sir." Huntington, Blithery, sleep in houses 6 feet long. Lay me on an anvil, oh God. Beat me and hammer me into a crowbar. Let me pry loose old walls. Let me lift and loosen old foundations. Lay me on an anvil, oh God. Beat me and hammer me into a steel spike. Drive me into the girders that hold a skyscraper together. Take red-hot rivets and fasten me into the central girders. Let me be the great nail holding a skyscraper through blue nights into white stars. Lash yourself to the bastion of a bridge in the Windy City in Chicago and listen while the black cataracts of people go by. Baggage, bundles, balloons. Listen while they jazz the classics. Since when did you kiss yourself in and who do you think you are? Come across, kick and loosen up. Where do you get that chatter? Beat up the shortchange artists. They never did nothing for you. How do you get that way? Tell me and I'll tell the world. I'll say so, I'll say it is. You're trying to crab my act, you poor fish, you mackerel. You ain't got the sense God gave an oyster. It's rain and what you want is an umbrella. Hush, baby, I don't know a thing. I don't know a thing. Hush, baby. It ain't how old you are, it's how old you look. It ain't what you got, it's what you can get away with. Bring home the bacon, put it over, shoot it across, send them to the cleaners. What we want is results, results, and damn the consequences. Shh! You can fix anything if you got the right fixers. Kid each other, you cheapskates. Tell each other you're all to the mustard, you're the gravy. Tell him, honey. Tell him. Ain't it the truth, sweetheart? Watch your step. Step lively. Watch your step. Step lively. You said it. You said a mouthful. We're all a lot of damn four flushers. Hush, baby. Shoot it. Shoot it all. Cuckoo. Cuckoo. This is one song of Chicago. And if the alley ash cans, tell the garbage wagon drivers the children play the alley is heaven. And the streets of heaven shine with a grand dazzle of stones of gold. And there are no policemen in heaven. Let the ragtags have it their way. And if the geraniums in the tin cans of the windowsills ask questions not worth answering, and if a boy and a girl hunt the sun with a sieve for sifting smoke, let it pass, let the answer be. Dust and a bitter wind shall come.
Since we have listened to an American voice that certainly sings with a Western flavor, we'd like you to listen to another great writer in whose voice is much of the liquid music of the South. This, incidentally, is also a preview of our anthology program for Sunday afternoon, November 7th, when our guests will be Barbara Cohen and Marion Roney, two New York girls who dared reach for a dream and turned that dream into a reality called Cadman Records. We'll hear their amazing story that Sunday on Anthology, in addition to hearing excerpts from the newest Cadman albums, albums starring Alfred Drake, Basil Rathbone, and the American author we mentioned earlier, Nobel Prize winner William Faulkner. We think it would be very much in keeping with the spirit of this United Nations Day if we were to listen to William Faulkner reading his Nobel Prize acceptance speech, just as he read it in 1949. If there can be a oneness among men and women of the sciences, of the arts, if one nation can bestow an honor with the dignity and prestige of the Nobel Prize upon a citizen of another nation, then perhaps someday we can find the essence of that oneness, and through an organization such as the United Nations, bind together in peace all men and women of all nations. Ladies and gentlemen, William Faulkner reading his acceptance speech of the Nobel Prize.
I feel that this award was not made to me as a man, but to my work. A life's work in the agony and sweat of the human spirit, not for glory and least of all for profit, but to create out of the materials of the human spirit something which did not exist before. So this award is only mine in trust. It will not be difficult to find a dedication for the money part of it commensurate with the purpose and significance of its origin. But I would like to do the same with the acclaim, too, by using this moment as a pinnacle from which I might be listened to by the young men and women already dedicated to the same anguish and travail, among whom is already that one who will someday stand here where I am standing. Our tragedy today is a general and universal physical fear, so long sustained by now that we can even bear it. There are no longer problems of the spirit. There is only the question, when will I be blown up? Because of this, the young man or woman writing today has forgotten the problems of the human heart in conflict with itself, which alone can make good writing, because only that is worth writing about, worth the agony and the sweat. He must learn them again. He must teach himself that the basis of all things is to be afraid, and teaching himself that, forget it forever, leaving no room in his workshop for anything but the old verities and truths of the heart. The old universal truth, lacking which any story is ephemeral and doomed, love and honor and pity and pride and compassion and sacrifice. Until he does so, he labors under a curse. He writes not of love, but of lust, of defeats in which nobody loses anything of value, of victories without hope and most of all without pity or compassion. His griefs grieve on no universal bones, leaving no scars. He writes not of the heart, but of the glands. Until he relearns these things, he will write as though he stood among and watched the end of man. I decline to accept the end of man. It is easy enough to say that man is immortal simply because he will endure, that when the last ding-dong of doom has clanged and faded from the last worthless rock hanging tideless in the last red and dying evening, that even then there will still be one more sound, that of his puny, inexhaustible voice still talking. I refuse to accept this. I believe that man will not merely endure, he will prevail. He is immortal, not because he alone among creatures has an inexhaustible voice, but because he has a soul, a spirit capable of compassion and sacrifice and endurance. The poet's, the writer's duty is to write about these things. It is his privilege to help man endure by lifting his heart, by reminding him of the courage and honor and hope and pride and compassion and pity and sacrifice, which have been the glory of his past. The poet's voice need not merely be the record of man. It can be one of the props, the pillars to help him endure and prevail.
That was William Faulkner reading his acceptance speech of the Nobel Prize, a portion of the new Cadman record, Faulkner Reads from His Works. And now, if we may have something important in the way of fanfare, we have important news from our cooperative cohorts at the Poetry Center of the YM and YWHA. The 15th anniversary season opens officially for the Poetry Center on Saturday evening, October 30th, when they will present Miss Marianne Moore reading from her own works in the beautiful Teresa L. Kaufman Auditorium at the Y, 92nd Street and Lexington Avenue in Manhattan. The time will be 8:40 in the evening, and a capacity audience is expected. If you're interested in obtaining seats for the Marianne Moore reading or a subscription for the entire series, we suggest you contact the Poetry Center at once or stop by the auditorium for your tickets. This season's schedule of readers is an exciting cross-section of the world's finest poets. Names like William Carlos Williams, the Sitwells, E.E. Cummings, Robert Frost, W.H. Auden, T.S. Eliot, and many, many more. From week to week, we'll keep you informed on the events to be held at the Poetry Center. You may also obtain a printed copy of the season's attractions by writing to the Poetry Center, 92nd Street and Lexington Avenue, New York. Don't forget the opening of the season, Saturday, October 30th, and Miss Marianne Moore. Brief overture of exotic sounds serves the double purpose this afternoon, besides being the introductory music to the new Capitol album of the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, they also ably introduce our final letter to be answered. Mrs. Louise Hill of 860 Riverside Drive writes, "Your program 1 week ago, The White Cliffs of Dover, was beautiful, and I wept my eyes out. But I was disappointed that you did not give the Rubaiyat as advertised. I looked for it on this past Sunday's program, but did not find it. May we have it soon. We need Omar's philosophy today as never before in our national life." Our problem concerning the Rubaiyat has been quite basic. There are currently 2 new versions of the verses available. We've had a difficult time making a choice. In fact, we haven't made a choice. We're going to allow you to hear portions from both albums, since both are very different and both very beautiful. Referring again to the Cadman anthology scheduled for November 7th, on that Sunday you'll hear verses from the Rubaiyat read by the brilliant young Broadway star Alfred Drake. This afternoon, Omar Khayyam's colorful and provocative words are interpreted by Jim Amici, a leading actor of radio, stage, and television. The verses from Edward Fitzgerald's translations were selected, and the incidental music was composed by Harold Spina. Once, in a Persian garden, a romantic stargazer spoke these words, moving words of love and despair and hope. This is the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. We will hear A Garden of Verses, Myself When Young, and In That Old Potter's Shop.
A book of verses underneath a bough, a jug of wine, a loaf of bread, and thou beside me singing in the wilderness. Ah, wilderness were paradise enow. Some for the glories of this world, and some sigh for the prophet's paradise to come. Ah, take the cash and let the credit go, nor heed the rumble of a distant drum. Look to the rose that blows about us. Lo, laughing, she says, into the world I blow. At once the silken tassel of my purse tear, and its treasure on the garden throw. The worldly hope men set their hearts upon turns ashes, or it prospers, and anon, like snow upon the desert's dusty face, lighting a little hour or two, is gone. And those who husbanded the golden grain, and those who flung it to the winds like rain, alike to no such aureate earth are turned as buried once, men want dug up again. Think, in this battered caravansary, whose portals are alternate night and day, how sultan after sultan with his pomp abode his destined hour and went his way. They say the lion and the lizard keep the courts where Jamshid gloried and drank deep. And Bahram, that great hunter, the wild ass stamps o'er his head, but cannot break his sleep. I sometimes think that never blows so red the rose as where some buried Caesar bled. That every hyacinth the garden wears dropped in her lap from some once lovely head. And this reviving herb, whose tender green fledges the river lip on which we lean, lean upon it lightly, for who knows from what once lovely lip it springs unseen. Ah, my beloved, fill the cup that clears today of past regrets and future fears. Tomorrow? Why, tomorrow, I may be myself, with yesterday 7,000 years. Myself, when young, did eagerly frequent doctor and saint, and heard great argument about it and about. But evermore came out by the same door as in I went. With them the seed of wisdom did I sow, and with my own hand labored it to grow. And this was all the harvest that I reaped. I came like water, and like wind I go. Up from earth's center through the seventh gate I rose, and on the throne of Saturn sate. And many a knot unraveled by the road, but not the master knot of human fate. There was a door to which I found no key. There was a veil past which I could not see. Some little talk a while of me and thee there seemed, and then no more of thee and me. Then to the rolling heaven itself I cried, asking what lamp had destiny to guide her little children stumbling in the dark, and a blind understanding, heaven replied. And then to the lip of this poor earthen urn, I leaned the secret of my life to learn. And lip to lip it murmured, while you live, drink. For once dead, you never shall return. I think the vessel that with fugitive articulation answered, once did live, and drink. And the passive lip I kissed, how many kisses might it take and give? For I remember stopping by the way to watch a potter thumping his wet clay. And with its all-obliterated tongue, it murmured, gently, brother, gently, pray. Ah, fill the cup. What boots it to repeat how time is slipping underneath our feet? Unborn tomorrow and dead yesterday, why fret about them if today be sweet? Listen again. One evening at the close of Ramazan, ere the better moon arose, in that old potter's shop I stood alone with the clay population round and rows. And once again there gathered a scarce heard whisper among them, as it were the stirred ashes of some all but extinguished tongue, which mine ear kindled into living word. Said one among them, surely not in vain my substance of the common earth was ta'en, that he who subtly wrought me into shape should stamp me back to shapeless earth again. Then said a second, ne'er a peevish boy would break the bowl from which he drank in joy, and he that with his hand the vessel made will surely not in after wrath destroy. None answered this. But after silence spake a vessel of more ungainly make.
They sneer at me for leaning all awry. What did the hand then of the potter shake?
And strange to tell, among that earthen lot, some could articulate, while others not. And suddenly one more impatient cried, "Who is the potter, pray, and who the pot?" "Why," said another, "some there are who tell of one who threatens he will toss to hell the luckless pots he marred in making." "Pish! He's a good fellow, and 'twill all be well." "Well," murmured one, "let whoso make or buy my clay, with long oblivion is gone dry. But fill me with the old familiar juice. Methinks I might recover by and by." So while the vessels one by one were speaking, the little moon looked in that all were seeking. And then they jogged each other. "Brother, brother, now the potter's shoulder not a creaking."
Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, read for you by Jim Amici. And so, Anthology number 34, dated Sunday, October 24th. Next week, a selection of poetry for the Halloween season, everything from Little Orphan Annie to The Witches of Macbeth. Among the stars you'll hear are David Ross, Wallace House, Bing Crosby, the Old Vic Company, and many more. Join us for 30 minutes of fun and fantasy for Halloween. Anthology is brought to you by WRCA in cooperation with the Poetry Center of the YM and YWHA, 92nd Street and Lexington Avenue in Manhattan. The program is produced by Steve White, written and directed by Draper Lewis. Until next Sunday at this same time, this is Fleetwood wishing you good luck and good reading.